You know, I was the underdog when I asked my wife out on a date.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
He's a weapon. Stability is the key in any situation.
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I am your host, Liam Davis. Join along me is my co-host, Max Heineman. And Max, you know, great week of Arabian sports, you know, homecoming week. Girls volleyball was very active. Girls soccer, boys soccer, especially also football with their homecoming game. Max, how do you think this week went for Arabian sports?
I think this week was a big boost for the Arabians. I mean, with, football's been doing great, but you know, tennis has been struggling. I think soccer's been struggling just a little bit. But with it being homecoming week and us getting a bunch of wins and everything that's been going on, I feel like this was a big boost for Pendleton Athletics.
Yeah, Pendleton Knights, obviously, most of you guys know, unless if you couldn't hear about it. Pendleton Knights actually won 43-14. They ended the first half up 36-0, which is a really huge boost to going at halftime. As you're saying, boys soccer, you know, they're expected to do really good things. They haven't started off what they think they should, but they're still doing good. They played Heritage Christian this week on Tuesday. They lost that game 0-2. They expected to win, but I was talking to a classmate that plays soccer, and he was like, you know, we expected to win that game, but then we didn't come out on top, so we got Fishers coming on Thursday, which they actually tied against Fishers. So, you know, they had a different mindset going into that game. And then we go over to girls soccer. They played Westfield on last Saturday, and they lost that game 1-4. I was going through, like, rankings and stuff, and Noblesville is 5th in the state, but then 12th in the nation.
For boys?
For girls soccer.
Oh, for girls. Yeah, you told me
and,
this yesterday.
I mean, it was just crazy. So, I mean, only to allow 4 goals to the 12th best team in the nation – still really good, especially with a young team that girls soccer has. And then they fortunately lost to Shelbyville 0-1 on Tuesday. But, I mean, you can't complain about losing to 2 really good teams by that close. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go over to girls volleyball real quick. They played in a tournament last Saturday. They played North Central, won that 2-0 in 2 sets. Played Newcastle, lost that one 0-2. And then Perry Meridian for their third game of the day. They won that one 2-0. So, I mean, pretty successful day. Then they went to Delta on Tuesday. Unfortunately, lost that one 2-3 in 5 sets. But then they bounced back on Thursday against Frankton, won that one 3-0 with a clean sweep. Max, what do you think about the Arabian teams before we move on to football?
I mean, just like you said with soccer, losing a couple games to ranked teams, I mean, that's just by how close they were. Yeah, you can't complain about that. For how good those teams are and how young we are, that just gives you excitement for next year and the years to come.
Yeah, obviously, can't complain about this week. The only thing you can be is happy, especially with the way the week ended with football. We're going to go on to that one. You know, Brent Gray, phenomenous game here. You know, we saw way more passes out of him. He was 12 for 18, 137 yards, no touchdowns for passing, but then the rushing game is where he really clicked. 10 rushes for 76 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then Joel Weaver and Talon Foster both had a touchdown. Joel Weaver, 7 attempts, 62 yards. Kind of a down week for him, didn't get as many touches, but I think that was kind of the game plan for Coach Richmond. You know, Joel Weaver's been getting a lot of touches. Greenfield Central's thinking they're giving Joel Weaver the ball. That wasn't the case this week. Brent Gray led the team in carries, led the team in passes, obviously. And then we have Talon Foster, 4 attempts, 23 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, Talon Foster, he didn't run the ball week one. He didn't even see the offense week one. Week two, 2 touchdowns against Garen Catholic. Week three, I'm pretty sure he had another touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, against Newcastle. Now this week he has another rushing touchdown. What do you think about this Arabian offense, Max?
I feel like it's not only Talon who's getting success. I feel like some credit has to be due to the offensive line. I mean, Brandt wouldn't have been able to run in for those three touchdowns and those 76 yards if it wasn't for the O-line making the gaps for him. It just shows you how resilient this Arabian offense is and how many points they're able to put up.
Yeah, this Arabian offensive line, you know, they have Luke Graham, four-year starter, and then they have Carter Moeing, two- or three-year starter. I'm not exactly sure which one. And then you have Kemper Owens. This is second-year starting. Brandon Owens, second-year starting. Ty Covington, second-year starting. So, I mean, yes, there is three juniors, two seniors on the offensive line, but I would say debatably this is the best offensive line in the nation. I'm not even trying to be biased at all. I mean, the things that they do, yes, they allowed a sack, but, I mean, Greenfield Central blitzed, and it was a deep pass, too. Brent Gray tried to get out of there, but then he just got too much pressure at that time and unfortunately went down for a sack. But, I mean, one sack isn't going to tear away a game. I mean, Brent Gray still had three rushing touchdowns. That's a quarterback. He had so many QB runs, Greenfield couldn't do anything about it. So, I mean, this Arabian offense, this Arabian team in general, is one of the best I've ever seen, honestly, ever since Eli Pinkel, Luke Candiano, people like that. Now, we're going to go to the defensive side. Cooper Sims.
Oh, my gosh, what a catch.
If you guys were tuning in at John Broughton Field.
One of the best catches I've ever seen.
And saw that Cooper Sims interception. We're going to talk to Coach Richmond later. That's going to be a key point that we're going to talk about.
Be a question for sure.
I mean, jumps up, one-handed grab, picks it off. I had Cooper Sims' fat head, actually, in the student section.
This is
and,
awesome.
I mean, I was going crazy. That was probably the best catch I've seen in person.
With his left hand. He's right.
With his left hand.
He's right-handed. He caught it with his left, fully extended up. It was very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and that was also one of the few passes that Greenfield threw. Greenfield's quarterback, Draven Nolting, he went 3-for-7 with 37 yards, a touchdown and an interception. But then also, you know, Greenfield's run-first offense. They ran the ball 39 times, threw it 7 times. Coach Richmond last night said that this was probably the fewest plays Greenfield's ever run against us. And, I mean, you know, Greenfield going last week from having, like, 330 rushing yards. Yes, they did have 228 rushing yards as a team, but they held it to 5.8 average.
Yeah.
And they did break out a big chunk of runs. Mm-hmm. And also late in the fourth quarter, you know, Pillins and Heights puts in their second string. Greenfield Central keeps their first string in. And Greenfield Central's first string is still a pretty good team. But Pillins and Heights was just so much superior. They were up 36-0 at halftime. You know, they laid back a little bit. But then they got up to 43-0 at one point.
Yeah.
So then Coach Richmond's like, you know, let's go have some fun. Puts in second string. They still played really good.
Oh, yeah.
Especially yeah. against a varsity team. I mean, they still played. Yes, they allowed 14 points. But, I mean, you got to look at it as they're getting more playing time for those younger players. And the more and more playing time you get against varsity players, the better and better you're going to be as the years go. And, I mean, Coach Richmond's really good on letting players get their opportunities. You know, Talon Foster got his opportunity, obviously. And then defensive side, I mean, D. Hyden, we actually saw play a lot. Luke Graham, we saw play a lot. He kind of changed up his defense also. We usually don't see four defensive linemen. This week we did for Greenfield's offense. They run a lot of run plays, a lot of up-the-middle run plays. I mean, you just have to be so excited for this Arabian team, especially going into a week like New Pal this week. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that game going forward. I don't want to talk too much about it, but, I mean, you just got to be so excited. You got to be pumped. 4-0 to start out the year. This is the first time, and I don't know how long we started 4-0.
Oh, it's been a while.
We started 3-0, but then we lost to Greenfield Central 2 years ago. And now we start 4-0. The team's really hot. Max, I know I've already asked you this, but what is so special about this Arabian team?
The way they play together. They all look like they're brothers out there. And the way they play, the way they hit, I feel like the coaching staff, like this team, just the way they act and the way I've heard them speak about each other, this year isn't like any other year. Like, they talk highly amongst each other. In the past years, that it's not that they talk down on each other. It's just they don't really talk about each other. This year, everybody's like, oh, yeah, this so-and-so did great at practice yesterday and is going to do good in the game. Coach Richmond comes in here every Friday and is just excited to be able to coach this evening. And one of the coaches for Pendleton Heights, Coach Arrogott, he's friends of my parents, so I see him outside of school, and he just loves to talk about these guys and how much fun he's having this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're having so much fun. But we're going to take a quick break. When you come back, we will have Coach Richmond here live with us. You are listening to the Arabia Sports Network Coaches Show. You're on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Detour Salon and Style, haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Online at detoursalonandstyle.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coach Show. I am your host, Liam Davis, joining along me, co-host Max Heineman, and head coach of the varsity football team, Coach Richmond. You know, big win last night for homecoming. How do you feel this morning?
I feel good. You know, I hope the kids feel good. It was a fun night, and, you know, it's one of those things that it's just the next step. You know, that's what I kind of talked to the team about last night, and you know, we expected to win. You know, we expect to always win. I mean, that's just, I don't know why you compete if you don't, but definitely, high level execution and, very physical. So it was fun to see the guys having fun.
So I talked to you yesterday during the, coaches show interview or the ASIN, interview. And I asked you, where do you think this game is going to be won? Is it going to be won in the coaching staff, or is it going to be won on the field? Where do you think this was won last night?
Players win games. I mean, you know, and you saw that. I mean, you know, the guys did a great job, you know, all the way around, you know, and they're the ones that make the plays, and they played their butts off. So they deserve to feel good today, and, you know, we're where we're at because of their commitment and their trust in the coaches and in what we're doing. And, you know, the senior class has taken it up a notch. And then, you know, the other guys have stepped in, you know, guys like Brent Gray, Joel Weaver, you know, they've stepped in and stepped up and just continue to make plays and get better and better.
And so starting off the game, White Elijah, kickoff return.
Yep.
Huge moment for the start of this football game.
Yeah.
How did that kind of lead to this offensive explosion and defensive pasture?
I'm glad you brought him up because he's another one. You know, he started last year as a sophomore, and he's made a lot of plays for us already in this early season. And, you know, but, yeah, he set the tone. I mean, and there are 11 guys out there, obviously, not to be facetious, but, you know, it's one of those things. Like, he hit it. He was ready, you know, and being ready is a choice. We talk about it all the time. All 11 guys were ready, and, you can't blink. I mean, you got to take off, and there's a guy that misses a tackle. If he hesitates, he gets tackled. Wyatt didn't hesitate. He was ready, and, I was really proud of him. And his role was a little different last night. It wasn't so much him as it was, what we were doing with the guys up front. And so, you know, he did a really good job when he was in on defense as well.
Yeah, so kind of speaking on the defense, you know, if I'm not mistaken, this was probably one of the fewest plays Greenfield Central's ever run against us. What kind of change in the mindset for this defense to think when that line of scrimmage and also whenever they passed, win the passing game?
Yeah, well, it's what we did in practice all week. The guys did, you know, it was a hard week, and scout team deserves a lot of credit. They always do, but they killed it this week, you know, and we were successful because of the unselfishness of those scout team guys. And some of them are varsity guys like Colton Johnson. Colton Johnson this week, unreal, unreal. And he didn't have any stats last night as far as, you know, like rushing touchdowns, things like that go. But he was Benavente in practice. And my goodness, he made it. He made those linebackers and defensive line safeties really good coming up on the dive. And I'm really proud of, you know, that type of leadership. And that's where we're at. So, you know, we got to read our keys better. You know, we've got to have better eye discipline. The windows are smaller in the coming weeks. And in champ, if we play these guys again, which we probably will, you know, it's going to be, we got to be that much sharper from the beginning. So, and that's both sides of the ball, you know. So,
Cooper Hinton, senior running back, last night you only held him to 13 carries for 54 yards.
Mm-hmm.
What was your game plan for him going into this week's game?
We just, the tendencies were pretty obvious in the film we had. But, you know, he's a stud. I mean, he's a really good player. So he was going to get his touches. So we were pretty dialed in to when and where, just like always. But, you know, if you can get them off a schedule like we did, you know, and force them into a third and medium or third and long, you can get them off the field. I mean, but they're a four down kind of offense. And I thought we did a great job on fourth down as well. I mean, we got them off the field. I mean, that's the thing, you know, they hit us with some runs there. We really missed tackles, you know, and or didn't set the edge, that sort of thing, as well as we could in that first and second drive. But then we got them down there and we shut them down and didn't let them in. So, and then we capitalized, you know, you got to get ahead of a team like Greenfield. That's one of the biggest things. So that opening kickoff spotted a 7, you know, and then we stop them. Then we get the ball, and now we got 14. And that sounds very like, well, duh, coach. But when you do that to a team like Greenfield, you know, they're not a hurry-up kind of offense. So they can do it, as they showed last year in the tournament, but that's not where they're most comfortable. And if you can force them into those scenarios and keep getting them off the field, man, it obviously raises your level of winning. So,
yeah, and I know we keep talking about this Arabian defense, and people are probably listening. Let's hear about the offense. But I want to know about that Cooper Sims catch. What was the feelings on the sidelines after that interception?
I mean, it's definitely a highlight. That was pretty special. So, you know, it's one of those things that we had just burned a timeout, if I remember right. You know, we had three timeouts, and you know, it's 28-0, 29-0 at that point. So, right around 3 minutes to go, just under three, and the thought was, hey, if we can force them to punt, we might be able to get some more points for half. And so always trying to take advantage of more opportunities, and he just made a play. We got him into I think it was the third down interception. We got him into that situation, and players make plays, you know, and he's a player. You know, he only had one catch on offense. We spread it around pretty well, I know. But he was, you know, he was a big part of last week's game, and he's a two-way starter and on special teams. I mean, we're going to go where these guys take us, you know, and you asked the question about coaching or – or playing. I mean, there's no coaching that catch. That's just Coop being Coop.
Yeah, and now we're going to go to the offensive side. Brent Gray, you know, he threw the ball more, ran the ball a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
He had 10 carries, 78 yards, 3 touchdowns on the night. And it kind of looked like, you know, Greenfield Central thought Joel Weaver was going to get the ball on the runs. But the start of the game, Brent Gray started keeping the ball more, and it looked like it was really working. what was kind of the mindset going into the game, knowing that you're going to give Brent Gray more rushing opportunities?
Well, I think we're always going to take what they give us. And, you know, there were corrections that we needed to make and Brant last week. And to the average, you know, fan and you know, whatnot, you don't notice certain things. But as teams, our schedule, you know, is going to continue to get better. And this week it was a really, really good opponent. And we had to improve on some things in all facets at every position. But Brant was one of those guys. There was some specific coaching that we had to clean some things up. And his humility and his leadership is really, really growing. And if the main guy can take the coaching like he did and apply it and then see success like he did, that speaks volumes for the rest of the team, you know. And obviously you know Brant well, and he is a competitor and he is a winner. And, you know, no one likes to hear they're not doing things as well as they could, right? You know, but the guys took it in stride, and Brant was a great example of that last week and only wanted to get better so he could help his team. And the offense is wide open because of him, you know. And, you know, he threw for over 100 and he ran for almost 100 last night. He was right around 80. And I think he only ran at 10. But, you know, the backbreakers are like the first pass that we called when he tried to hit Colton Johnson in the flat, couldn't quite get a visual, and then just tucked it and ran it. Like, that was a great decision. And those are the types of things that he's got to continue to do. And I think he ran for about 13 yards. So, you know, but with that said, he's taking what the defense gives him. I mean, like everybody had a touch, and it's not like we call a play that says throw it to Liam Davis. You know what I mean? It's just a concept, and he's got to read it, and he's got to play ball, and it's the same in the run game. So there were multiple specific runs to him, but not in the option game. It's always a read. So he did a really good job correcting things, but also taking advantage of what they gave us. So it's fun, you know. It's fun when you're able to play loose like that and get after him. So Brant definitely had a really, really good game.
Well, with that being said, we are going to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll have a talk about next week's game with you, Coach. Mm-hmm. But you're listening to the Raven Source Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, retirement planning, risk management, and legacy planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklanden, 765-221-2082.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back to the Arabian Sports Network Coach Show. I am your host, Liam Davis. Joining along me is my co-host, Max Heineman, and Coach Richmond. Coach, huge week this week. New pal is on the schedule. What are the feelings going into this week?
It's same as always. You know, I know that's not maybe the answer you want, but, I mean, it's a matter of are we going to take the next step, move forward, and get better? You know, I thought across the board that our kids did that this week in all phases. You know, I mean, our offensive line continues to get better. I mean, Kemp Rowans and those guys up front, Luke Graham, Nunnemaker, Marlene and Covington, those guys continue just to gel and get better. And then you mix in some guys like Adam Farmer and Eli Poor, and, you know, they keep improving. I thought Bentley Henry has really – he's a sophomore playing scout team, playing JV, played some defensive line last night. He's a guy that continues to push the guys in front of him, you know. And this game this week is going to be one on the line of scrimmage. And they have very special players on the perimeter. They got special guys up front. But all year long, we have come off the football. So either side, you know, Jake McKinley last night, He looked like he was shot out of a cannon in the first drive. I mean, he was chasing guys down. His hustle, he and Eldridge, man, their effort was just second to none. It doesn't matter who you're going against. You got to be you, you know? And that type of intensity up front sets the tone for then the next level and the next level, you know? And so with all that said, it doesn't matter who we're playing this week. We got to stay true to who we are, and we just got to keep improving. And, you know, I said this week. I think I said it to Zion last night, but it doesn't matter who we're playing this week. We got to move forward. Win or lose, we got to move forward. And that was the mindset going into Greenfield, and now that's the mindset going into this. Our goal is to play the best come tournament time, and it's all about us.
One thing I do love, Coach, is that your attitude stays the same week in and week out, whether we're playing New Powell or Mount Vernon or Shelbyville or anybody like that. But this is New Powell, and you know their coaching staff very well, and you know how they play. You've played them for years. How do you game plan for a team like this? You have all the film.
Sure. Yeah, you said it early, you know, do players win games or do coaches? And it's going to come down to are players ready to go and go compete against a really high level of talent. You know, we say things like the windows are smaller. They are smaller against these guys. They give you less room for error. I mean, I just watched part of their game last night, and it was quite impressive. You know, I don't know what it was at halftime, but it was a lot to nothing. And Mount Vernon's not a bad team. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us, and everybody knows that. But, you know, I'll take this locker room against anybody, anytime. And, you know, and we'll just take it from there, you know. And for me, being a competitor, I mean, they're the state champs, you know. They're number one in 5A, you know, and they're one of the best programs in the state. So, I said coming into the middle of the season, we'll see where we're at. Well, last night, I think we answered some of that. And now this is the next step, and it's not going to make or break our season one way or the other. I mean, if last night was the greatest thing that happens to us this season, that's not good. You know what I mean? If we come out victorious this coming Friday, that can't be the greatest thing that happens to us this season. And on the flip side of that, it can't be the worst thing if it doesn't go our way. You know what I mean? We got to stay focused, stay grounded. And, I'm an emotional, passionate person. You know that. You know that, guys. And at the same time, like, I want to go compete, and I want to play the best, and our guys want to play the best. And so we have a ton of respect for them, and we're excited to be able to take the field with them. I mean, there's not all that many times in high school athletics. You know, we've been really lucky in this conference the last few years, whether it be basketball, baseball, or football, or wrestle. I mean, I could go in every sport. This conference is really good. And to be able to see night in and night out high-end talent and guys going on and playing on Saturdays and whatnot, it's pretty special to be a part of. And, you know, so I take it as a privilege and an honor to take the field against these teams. And New Pal's no different in that way. We just have a ton of respect for them, and we want to go play ball and show them what our best football looks like.
Yeah, and, you know, New Pal's defense is – arguably one of the best in the state. Mm-hmm. They've allowed 16 points in four games. Shut out Mount Vernon, as you said, big score. 71-0 was the final score of that game. At halftime, it was 56-0.
Yeah.
What do you do to game plan against a defense like this?
Same thing we always do. I mean, they're kids. They're big and strong and fast, and they're coached extremely well. The thing about them is they're very disciplined. There's no question. Watching film on those guys is not real difficult because they do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There's times, and they're not perfect, but no one is. But at the same time, there's times last night where we missed reads. There's times last night where, like, we drop in coverage because they threw it a few times, you know, and our eyes don't go to the near receiver. You know, things like that. There's disciplines that we've got to continue to improve on. That I can see already, they're really, really good at. It's second nature, you know? And that's where you got to give credit to their systems and how they do things. They don't beat themselves. You know, that's good coaching, and that's good. good players doing what they're supposed to do. You know, their effort is tremendous. You know, you don't see any loafs out there. You don't see their conditioning's tremendous. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's just you turn on the film and the film doesn't lie. We say things like that all the time. So there's a reason why they've only given up 4 points a game. There's a reason why they scored 71 last night. And, you know, I think they blocked two punts last night. You know, they kicked a field goal. Like, their special teams are really good. And their special teams have been made an impact this season. I mean, as I've followed them, I haven't watched it, but as I've followed them, I know they've had a kick return or two for touchdowns. They've had defensive touchdowns, so on and so forth. So, you know, we can't beat ourselves. It starts between our ears first, and that goes for the community as well. You know, we're a big, strong, fast team too. So we have weapons. We need to get better at what we do, and we'll see where we are Friday.
New Pal against Mount Vernon last night had an amazing rushing stats, 27 carries for 385 yards.
Yeah.
Jacob Davis, 3 for 18.
Yeah.
Caden Jacobia, yep. 4 for 125. Yeah, and Ryder Gardner, 6 for 81. How do you stop him? Like,
yeah, same way we stop everybody. I mean, this team, we just, you know, remember the team we just beat last night had 400 yards against Mount Vernon the week before, 57 carries. These guys are really dynamic in space, and they spread you out and get you in those situations. So, you know, we missed some tackles last night. We were in position to make them. Those are the steps we got to take this week. And the windows are smaller because they are faster and quicker. Take nothing away from Greenfield. But on film, New Pal, much, much faster, quicker. There's less room for error, you know? And then if they get one, we can't hang our head. We got to play the next play. That's one thing last night. I saw that a little bit. Saw some frustration at times. And, like, you know, I was really proud of the guys because one of the things I really challenged them is we can't have a relief syndrome where we get up and then we're like, oh, yeah, oh, this is fun, yeah. And we just relax. And then we have a lull. We didn't have to punt last night. We didn't have to punt last night because we didn't have a relief syndrome situation, you know? And even at the end, you know, we turned it over. But, man, Hudson comes in, fires a flat, and we're rolling, you know. I'm like, holy cow, here we go. You know, this is fun seeing these guys get out there and get after them. And then, you know, and then we turned it over, and that was, you know, that was one of those things. But at the same time, like, you just got to stay focused one play at a time. And I think New Pal does an excellent job of that. They coach down there, talks about winning the day. That's his thing. And they definitely do. You know, and they're gonna take it step by step all week long, and then, you know, they're talking the same stuff. They want to get better every day, you know, and they have the ultimate goal, I know, of playing on Thanksgiving. So, I mean, that's everybody's goal. So, great opponent. Going to be a great atmosphere. Got to embrace it, and we got to have confidence and courage you know, we can go down and we can compete with them.
Well, unfortunately, that will be all the time we have for you, Coach. We're going to take another break. Thank you for joining me. Good luck on this week at practices. Good luck Friday for the game, and good luck for the rest of the season to you. But when we come back, you'll have some interviews with Coach Zalmers and Owen Keene here on the Arabian Sports Network Coach Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling. Located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM, we welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri. I'm joined alongside Pendletonites girls soccer head coach
Nathaniel Summers.
Great to have you here for the interview. How's your day going so far?
It's going great. Today's my day off, so
awesome.
Chill all day.
All right. Well, we'll get straight into it. Obviously, you were recently hired this offseason to come to Pendleton Heights. Yep. Where did soccer start for you as a coach?
Yeah, as a coach, immediately after graduating college, I started coaching at Oak Hill up in Grant County. And so started out there, was there for a few years, and then went to Texas for my job and was there for the past decade or so. And while there, was running an academy, a youth academy.
Mm-hmm. So you play high school and soccer, or soccer and high school?
Yep.
What about being a coach was so enticing to you that you decided, I'm going to do this straight after you got out of high school?
Yeah, well, I first was a referee, mm-hmm. Which was really great, and it helped pay for college. And I did that while I was in college. I was head ref of this league and quickly realized, reffing maybe might not be the thing that I really like. Mm-hmm. But I just couldn't stay away from the game. And so I got an opportunity to be a coach and kind of stepped into it, not knowing, is this where I want to go or not? And while doing that, I also was doing private training for a lot of high school athletes. And so through those two experiences, I really kind of fell in love with it.
So you have a master's degree in sports ministry. Is that correct?
I have a bachelor's in sports ministry and a master's from a seminary.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I read. These things, they're not typical of a coach, but it's pretty interesting for a coach to have this a sports ministry. I've personally never heard of that major. What did you learn from that you can take to being a coach? That really shocked me when I saw it, because that's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's a different kind of degree. And really what it is, it's a mix between regular Christian ministry and so, mm-hmm. Kind of what people take to be a pastor, and then sports management. And so the idea is being able to work, in ministry and run different sports programs while you're kind of running a church or running a nonprofit, which is what I ended up doing then with my wife and I were missionaries for over a decade. That's where we're in Texas, and we had a soccer academy as part of that. And so it was a Christian run, soccer academy that was running, within the city. And it's just an interesting mix. I was called into ministry, but I was going through a lot of different stuff, trying to figure out what do I want to do? Who am I? And soccer was always such a big part of my life. I was like, okay, God, if I'm going to go, forward in this, I really don't want to give that up. Do you have a way forward for me? And so that was kind of the way that God allowed me to kind of stay in the game and continue to do what he had called me to do, as a pastor.
I feel like the rules are pretty fine on what you can and can't do as a coach in reference to religion.
Yep.
And that's why it was very interesting to me that they hired someone that has a degree in sports ministry and is a pastor. Do you find that's a difficult line to tread? Because, you can't lead your students or your players in prayer or anything like that. But, we are in a pretty faith-based community. A lot of the coaches are very devout in their faith. So are the players and athletes. Is that difficult for you?
No, not really. I've also worked in education really past graduation. So I get that fine line that's got to be walked. And I don't really talk about faith beyond just, mm-hmm. As an outpouring of who I am. And it's important to me, obviously. And so it will come up, but I don't, proselytize or try to preach or anything like that, mm-hmm. But a big part of my faith, though, is that, I believe that God has called everyone, whether they follow him or not, to be better people, to be people who, our character continues to develop, that we mature, that we become, kind and gracious and loving toward other people. And I mean, that coincides with sports so easily, because really high school sports, especially, it's a catalyst for growth in the individual more than anything. And yeah, we want to be better at our sport, but it also makes us just better people and helps us step into the wider world by the time we graduate.
So we'll talk about this specific team in Pendleton Heights. Obviously, you step into the coaching job in a little bit of a tough situation. Last year, the girls' soccer team went 8-9-1. They lost to a very tough HSE team in sectionals. What about you and your skills can help this team and help, improve that record last year and be a different group?
Yeah, I don't know much about, the way the team was before, other than, what I've learned kind of coming in and getting to know some of the girls. But, there's a lot of talent that's been developed here, and it's such a great group. And And I really believe that, you know, me coming in and what I believe most is being able to empower the girls to recognize that this team is theirs. Like, it's not mine. I'm a steward of what they're doing on their team. And so as long as they take ownership and kind of move forward with what they want to do this season, I think we have no limit to where we could go this year. And I think that's already kind of played out in the games that we have played. We took Noblesville all the way down to the wire. We've held in with every, you know, competitive team in this state. And so I think by the time we come to sectionals, our team, which is composed of a lot of freshmen and sophomores, we're only going to get better and better, and we might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, you kind of touched on my next question. You have a lot of young girls on this team. Obviously, you know, when you're competing against maybe Noblesville that has a lot of seniors, or a team that has a higher attendance and a lot of students backed on their soccer team, that's got to be pretty tough for you. Who do you expect in this young team to flourish in the coming years, or really grow into their best player, you know, in their junior, maybe senior year?
Yeah, and you know, just in the last several games, we've had a few players start to come to their own and really stand out. I think Sydney Jones is going to be one of the best players, you know, that this program will see in the next several years. Allie Johnson and Alea Robinson are both freshmen who, even just our most recent game, you know, connected together to be able to score a couple of goals. We just have so many talented freshmen and sophomores that they're only going to get better. And this team, you know, in a couple of years, it's going to be pretty amazing to see what they can accomplish.
What are you looking forward to most this season?
I'm looking forward to seeing just how the team comes together by the time that, you know, last week comes and we're hitting sectionals, which is a hard sectional, and be able to step into that with a fully formed identity. You know, anytime you get a new coach, anytime you get a new group of kids, it's going to be this process of figuring out, okay, who are we actually, you know, going to be? And they started writing their story that first week of the season. And so far what they've been telling, you know, our conference and our sectional and the state is that, you know, we're a tough team. We've got talent. But by the time we get to that sectional week, I think they're going to be telling a pretty loud story for themselves.
As a new coach, you know, you come into a new situation. Well, firstly, why Pendleton Heights? Why was that your choice of high school? You know, what was available? Yeah. Why did you go for Pendleton Heights?
Yeah, well, my kids go to Maple Ridge and Pendleton Elementary. And so I've got three kids in the school system. When it became available, it was the local school. And I really believe in high school sports. I think it's really important. Some of my best memories are with my teammates and with my coaches. And so I wanted to contribute to that. And this is, you know, home for me now. And so just trying to step into the community and serve best way I can.
Yeah, so I feel like it might be difficult as a first-year coach to, like, you know, if you've been on the team a while, you know the coaching staff, you're friends with those people, you've, you know, had seasons to grow with them. Are you on a completely new coaching staff? Did you know these people before you stepped into the role? Did you know Mr. Smith, the athletic director? Did you know anyone here?
I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything about the school, really. You know, even living here, you know, my kids have only been in the school system for a couple of years, so we are completely new to the area. We moved to this area 2.5 years ago. So, I mean, we just, yeah, didn't know anything. But coming in's been fun, learning everybody, getting to know people. It's a great community. A lot of passion for athletics, which, you know, I love.
Well, that'll about wrap it up for this interview. Everyone here at Pendleton Heights is super excited to have you, and I'm glad we could finally have you for an interview. We'll probably have you again this year for a more soccer-based one about, you know, where you're at in the season, you know, probably later as you're getting towards sectionals, maybe. I'm not too sure off the top of my head. But anyways, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
All right, that'll do it for this interview. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Hello, welcome back to the Arabian Sports Network. I'm joined here by Owen Keene. My name is Max Heineman. Owen, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm just ready to be done with school.
Yeah, right. No kidding. It's Friday and it's a beautiful day outside. We got homecoming tomorrow and the homecoming game tonight. I haven't been able to make it out to very many tennis matches, but do you want to tell me and everybody listening how that's going so far this year?
It's definitely going good. I mean, we lost all of our varsity, like 80% of our varsity. They were seniors last year, and so it's been kind of tough to like fill in those spots and get rolling again. But Coach Bryant, he's been really helping us, and we've been working hard, and I think we're about even on the record right now, or we might be down one. I'm not too sure, but we're definitely doing good. Yeah.
Good. No, that's good to hear. You've been playing tennis for how many years now?
Since seventh grade. So that'd be five or six years.
Yeah. Well, playing tennis since you were in middle school, I'm sure as a seventh grader, you were looking up to the seniors then. How does it feel to be a senior now on the biggest, like all the freshmen and middle mm-hmm. schoolers watching you being like, I can't wait to be that one day.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy how fast it's been. How like times move so quick, and now I'm in that position that everyone usually the freshmen look up to me, and I mean, it's just a cool feeling, but also I just try to put that in my mentality and just like try to be a leader.
Well, that's my next question. How do you feel the leadership role of this year is different from last year? Is it more involved? Is it verbally involved? Is it technical involved? Like, do you guys work on mechanics more as a team, or does the coach have to step in and say, hey, you guys need a lead?
Definitely. Our coach definitely like requires us and like expects us to be leading these freshmen, and cause we know what to do. Like, he knows that we know what to do, and he's going to tell us what to do, and we'll tell him what to do. And I mean, it's just definitely all the seniors, we all definitely have that class, and we can lead really well.
Your coach told one of my partners, Zion, that he feels that this is one of the better teams that he's had in the last few years, and he never gave us any specifics or anything like that, but what do you think he's talking about whenever he says that? What are you guys' strong points?
I think definitely our attitude. Like, we have a better attitude across the entire team. These freshmen, they are really like involved, and they like to be loud, and it just definitely brings up the spirit, and it really just helps out. Like, just it helps out as a whole. You wouldn't really think, but it does go a long way when there's a lot of people being loud and just being encouraging and all that. So I definitely say it's like a team thing that makes us better.
Starting since you were a freshman, now that you're a senior, you've been playing against the same kind of guys your whole high school career. Do you think, obviously you've gotten bigger, faster, and stronger, but do you think it is different? Do you think you're moving above your competition? Do you think you're moving just right along with it? What do you think?
I think I'm definitely, well, some of these guys, these kids that I'm facing, they're expecting to go to college. I mean, for tennis, I mean, it's not my goal. I just want to do good and beat them. I mean, I'd say I'm going right along with them, but definitely just try my best, and I'd say I'm right there with all the guys.
Your teammate Jagan, I can't remember his last name.
Soltz.
Jagan Soltz. I sit with him at lunch, and he just talks and talks about tennis and how fun it is and how like good of a group you guys have. Can you elaborate more on that? I know you said that everybody has a great attitude and all, but like what is different from the years prior?
I think definitely it seems like we all just get along. Like, we definitely just all bond, and like we all get along, and like we all just love tennis, and it seems like we all have just the same interests, and we all just want to win. We're all really competitive, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely these freshmen are the most competitive I've ever seen. Like, yeah.
Do you, I don't watch tennis personally. I enjoy tennis. It's a fun sport to watch. I just don't really watch it all that much. Do you kind of see yourself as one of those professionals, like people, like kids in the backyard, or like, I want to do something that LeBron does, like a signature dunk or the Jordan dunk or Curry. Do you see yourself doing something that a professional does that a high schooler shouldn't be doing, but it works for you?
I mean, definitely. Really depends. I mean, I don't really see myself being like one of those big guys. I really just want to go out there and just really compete. I mean, I would love if I was that good to just be able to do that for a living. But I mean, I'd say I do my best, and that's all I can give. Oh,
you also play track as well as tennis. You're a track star from what I've heard and what I've seen. What's the difference in the training schedules for track and tennis? Like, do you start tennis earlier or track earlier? Like, what's the deal on that?
I'd say around the same time, practice, we get time to change and go on the court or the field for track. And so it's definitely around the same time we start. And I'd say we end later in track. Like, we practice longer. I think maybe like probably 30 minutes longer, I would say, in track. But, and definitely, I would say track is way more, like, in a way harder, like, for like training.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say it just really depends the day, because at track there could be the hard days and easy days. But I'd say tennis, it's like kind of the same every day. Like, we just really just work on consistency stuff.
Well, with your team success, I know you said that you're 500, but in the Hoosier Heritage Conference, I mean, this is a tough conference, and the people you play are tough. And what do you think you guys need to work on to get you guys over that hump? Like, is it doubles or is it singles that are struggling? Is it the teamwork? Is it the communication?
I think definitely these, three singles and two doubles, we're really playing around with our positions. We're moving around people. We're doing challenge matches, seeing who's better, who's better playing with. It's, I wouldn't say a weak spot. I'd say just we need to really find who's going to be good there together. And that's definitely what's been the problem.
Well, that's about all the time we have. Thank you, Owen, for joining me.
Of course.
My name is Max Heineman, joined by Owen Keene, tennis player of the Pendleton Heights Arabians. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone is 765-229-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm your host. Joining along with me is my co-host, Max Heineman. And we're going to start talking about the upcoming week, this upcoming week for games around Arabian sports. You know, we talked to Coach Richmond earlier. New Powell is on upcoming on the schedule for the football team. That's going to be a really good game. You know, New Powell, highly ranked in the state. I'm pretty sure a third overall out of 6A, 5A, 4A, all of them. Number one in 5A, as Coach Richmond mentioned before. He's really excited for this game. And I'm going to go ahead and start talking about other sports here. You know, volleyball, they have upcoming matches against Hamilton Southeastern, Muncie Central, and New Palestine. Busy week for girls volleyball. You know, they're used to having like two games out of the week, Tuesday and Thursday. But this week they have three. And last week they had a tournament, as we also mentioned before, but this week they don't. And busy week for volleyball, Max. What other sports are going around?
Tennis and soccer, football on Friday, and cross country.
Well, thank you, Max, for telling us all the sports that we have here on Film Tonight's.
I don't have it up on my phone right now.
But busy week still. I mean, boys soccer, I know they have a lot of games coming up. They have matches against Westfield, Yorktown, and Delta. Actually, Westfield is today, matter of fact. So make sure you're, if you can make it out to Westfield. It's at Westfield at 11:30 this morning. But make sure that you can make it out there and watch some boys soccer. And Yorktown and Delta, both conference matches, big matches for boys soccer. Max, would you like to talk about girls soccer?
Yeah. So today they play North Central at 11:30 a.m. That should be a good game. And then on Wednesday, they lost to Shelbyville 0-1. And on Thursday, they traveled to Newcastle, play at 7 o'clock, which I believe Newcastle's girls team is pretty good this year. So we could possibly get a good win, carry us into the second half of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of hard to see boys' tennis schedule, girls' golf schedules, and the boys' and girls' cross-country schedules, but I know they all have matches coming up this week. Girls' golf, I'm pretty sure they have, like, two matches this week, I'm pretty sure. Boys' tennis probably has two also. Cross-country probably has one over the weekend. I'm assuming that they usually have meets over the weekend. I might be wrong, though. I'm pretty sure I've seen them out there sometimes on the weekdays. But busy week for Pillen tonight. I'm really excited for it. Week after homecoming, you know, big win from boys football, big wins from volleyball last week. Hoping to have a great week coming into this week. But you guys tune into the Raven Sports Network Coaches Show, whether you tune in for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, you're at the very end, or you stay for the whole time and listen to us talk for an hour. We really appreciate for all that you guys do. We also want to thank all the sponsors to the station. I want to thank Max for joining me. I want to thank Mr. Martin for sticking around in the studio, making sure everything runs smoothly. You're listening to the Raven Sports Network Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.
As more club and travel sports pop up every year, they often muddy the waters on what the purpose of sports should be for student athletes at this age.
But high school sports are different.
It's not about becoming the best athletes. It's about becoming the best people.
It's not about scholarships. It's about coaches mentoring you, camaraderie with your teammates, and the connection you build with your school community.
It's not about year-round training. It's about developing resilience, responsibility, and a strong work ethic for life.
It's not about what am I going to get out of this. It's about playing for something bigger than yourself, for your team, your school, and your entire community.
High school sports help us grow in ways that will serve us for the rest of our lives, not just in the game.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Support what makes education-based athletics different by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is developing students as people. This is fulfilling a greater purpose. This is your IHSAA.
Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
Listen to these gnarly 80s songs at 8. On 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
I never meant to be so back to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. To another, we were young, and we would scream together songs unsung. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what my heart meant. The heat of the moment showed in your eyes, and now you find yourself in 82. The disco but hold the charm for you. You can't concern yourself with bigger things. You catch a pull and ride the dragon's wings. 'Cause it's the heat of the moment, the heat of the moment.